All right, morning, everyone. And today's Daf Yud in Sukkah. Yesterday, Gemara's discussion revolved around the making a sukkah underneath a tree. The Gemara noted that that would be problematic as a result of the fact that the tree itself is schach pasul. It's disqualified schach. We're going to be learning in just a couple days from now the very definition of schach. Schach has to be organic, has to grow from the ground, it has to be detached from the ground, and it cannot be a kli, cannot be a utensil. If missing any one of those requirements, so the schach is no good. So the Mishnah describes how you make a sukkah under a tree, and the Mishnah says it's no good. It's schach pasul. I'm sorry, your schach is no good. Why? So as the Gemara explained yesterday, because we have now a combination of schach pasul, schach kosher. The joint combination between the two creates a sukkah that's no good. The Mishnah says you make it under a tree. It says as if you made it under your house. That's the kind of, that was the statement of the Mishnah. To which the Gemara then said, okay, so what's the Mishnah's point by that? And the Gemara's explanation was, well, because the tree has to be such where it's providing a tremendous amount of schach pasul. But if it's just giving a minimum amount of schach pasul, so the Gemara says, well, that's okay. The Gemara says, really, that's okay? And I said, I don't understand. So even if I have a minimum amount of schach above my, branches above my sukkah, that should still be no good because, again, it's mitzvah if you're combining schach kosher and schach pasul. So the Gemara's answer yesterday, shechaftan. Shechaftan, explained Rashi, means that you take the minimum amount of branches and you interweave it into your schach. Once you interweave it into your schach, now you have a situation of bittul, you have a nullification, and that would be okay. So again, assuming that you have more schach kosher than you do have schach pasul, and it's interwoven, so then we afford ourselves the opportunity, the ability to say bittul. Okay, that was the first point the Mishnah made yesterday with the Gemara. And then the Mishnah went on to discuss sukkah tachas sukkah. So the first half of today's daf, we're going to be continuing the discussion of the Mishnah, actually starting the discussion of the Mishnah, of this disqualification of sukkah tachas sukkah. That's the first half of today's daf, and that'll take us to the Mishnah and daf yud. Then when we get to the Mishnah and daf yud, we move on to a new discussion, which is a major discussion of noi sukkah, decorating your sukkah, and looking at the decoration and understanding the status of the noi, of that of the decoration. Okay, before we begin, let's just thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. The Daf is learned. Lezecher Lo Zaltzman Lupin. We are on Tesamud Beis. We're at the two dots. I did the two dots yesterday, but we're going to start it again because it really is the beginning of our discussion. Tana Rabbana B'sukkas Teshvu. So the Gemara says, quoting the Pasuk from Parshas Zamor, that you're going to sit in Sukkas. V'lo B'sukkas Shetachas the Sukkah. And it can't be multiple Sukkas. It can only be one Sukkah, not multiple Sukkas. So you can't be sitting in a sukkah underneath a sukkah. Okay. There may be nothing wrong with the sukkah above. What's the disqualification over here? Multiple sukkah. You can't be a sukkah underneath a sukkah. So the Gemara, first of all, just on the drasha, the Gemara says, I don't really understand. I'm sorry. Let me just first finish reading. V'lo b'sukkah shetachas ilam, v'lo b'sukkah shebetoch habayis, not in a sukkah under a tree, not in a sukkah in a house. Adrabba, b'sukkah starti mashma. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The pasuk says, b'sukkos, which is plural. Which actually, if you think about it, it actually sounds like what the Torah is saying is, hey, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to sit in multiple sukkahs, which is difficult to even imagine. But maybe I'll build a sukkah on top of that, I'll sit in a sukkah underneath, and look at that. I'm in a sukkah, underneath a sukkah, life is great. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Yisrael b'sukkos ksiv, or b'sukkas ksiv. So the Gemara's answer is that no, the drasha actually is you can only sit in one sukkah. You cannot be sitting in multiple dwellings and multiple sukkahs. The drasha is based on the fact that when the Torah writes the word sukkah, it writes it without a vav, so it's written in the lashon yachid in an individual, and it can only be one soul sukkah, one individual sukkah. Fine, that's the drasha. Okay, so from this point going forward, we have a disqualification. It's an interesting one. Sukkah is not too high. Sukkah is not too low. Sukkah is not too narrow. The problem is it's multiple sukkahs. So this is the disqualification of sukkah tachas sukkah. Okay, can I explain it any better? I don't know. I don't think so. Meaning it's just that's just simply the nature of sukkah, is that when you're sitting in a sukkah, it can be one independent individual sukkah. And you cannot be in a sukkah underneath another sukkah, and even if there per se is nothing wrong with the sukkah above you, but it's just a simple disqualification of sukkah tachas sukkah. Okay, that's the basis and the starting point for our entire discussion. And now let's begin. Amar Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah now is going to give us four different permutations where it would be possible to get every different permutation. Meaning, we're going to deal with a simple two-story sukkah, one sukkah on top of another sukkah. We're going to have it that both sukkahs are good, both sukkahs are bad. One, the top sukkah is good, the bottom is bad. Bottom is good, top is bad. Every permutation. Now we're going to have to change configuration, but we're going to get every one. Yeah.
How do people sit on the upper sukkah?
Yeah. So that's the Gemara is going to touch on the end of this discussion. The Gemara is going to touch on that very question. Now I go back. Your question bothered me as well because the schach by definition is branches and hard to imagine it's going to be able to support. I go back to the Rashi that we did yesterday just to help me visualize. Otherwise, it's hard to imagine. And Rashi yesterday said that what you can do is you can lay down lattice and then you can interweave your schach through the lattice. That's how Rashi described based on yesterday's Gemara. Rashi gave that description. So maybe over here, okay, so in other words, we'll put some sort of floor beams. Obviously, the floor beams can't be next to one another. That would be no good. They have to be spaced, and the space has to be greater than the actual beam itself. And then you interweave the schach. So something along those lines, just to get us to the point where you're actually sitting on the upper sukkah. But, right, otherwise, hard to imagine. Tanu Rabbanan, and by the way, the Gemara is going to touch on that at the end of this discussion. Okay. Good. Rav Yirmiyah and his four permutations. I'm Rav Yirmiyah. We are on the bottom, towards the bottom. Tesam and base. Pamim Shishtem Ksher, sometimes both are kosher. Pamim Shishtem Psulos, sometimes both are disqualified. Pamim Shetachter Ksher Valyona Psula, sometimes the lower one is kosher, the top one is pasul. And Pamim Shetachter Psula Valyona Kshera, and sometimes the bottom one is pasul and the top one is kosher. Okay, ready? Go. We are going to go through each one of these in detail and explain, configure each one of them so that we understand how you can arrive at all four permutations. Number one, Pamim Shishtem Ksher. So how can both be kosher? Now this, of course, is going to be a neat trick to make both of them kosher because as we just got done saying, you can't have sukkah tachat sukkah. You can't have a sukkah above another sukkah. It's disqualified. It's a disqualification. So how is this going to happen? Hechidami, kigon, shetachto nechamta meruba mitzilsa. So we're going to have the bottom sukkah where itzchak is very sparse. So that the schach covering the bottom sukkah is chamta meruba mitzilsa, more shade than sun, and ve'alyona tzilsa meruba mechamta. And the upper sukkah has perfectly good schach, ve'kaima elyona b'soch esrim. And as far as the upper sukkah is concerned, it's within 20 amas of the ground. But not of the first floor, but of the ground floor. Okay. And under these circumstances, both sukkah would be kosher. Now, between us, I'd say that in terms of this first configuration, he cheated a little bit. Now, I should be a little more careful about the words that I choose in terms of describing Rav Yirmiyah. But to get to this first configuration, we're looking for the upper sukkah and the lower sukkah both being kosher. And so the description he gives is where, well, you know, the schach between the first and second sukkah, it's a weak schach, it's sparse, it's more sun than shade, and the top sukkah has legitimate schach, it's kasher schach, it's still some ruba mechamsa, more shade than sun, and it's within 20 amos of the ground. Truth be told, I mean, if you think about it, it's really one sukkah. Meaning the idea now that we're going to be able to divide and differentiate between the upper and the lower one, it's a little bit... It's a little bit. I don't want to say he's cheating, even though I'm trying to avoid that word. But it's a little bit because it's really just one sukkah essentially, where there is something separating the upper and the lower, but it's not kasher schach. Okay. Anyway, that takes us to case number one. Case number two. Now let's come up with a scenario where they're both no good. So they're both no good. What would be the example? So as far as the schach for the bottom sukkah and the upper sukkah, kasher schach, meaning in both of them, more shade than sun. And where's the upper sukkah? The upper sukkah is really tall, above 20 amas, not from the ground floor, above 20 amas from the first floor. Okay. So now we can disqualify both of these sukkahs. Why? So the lower sukkah we get to disqualify because sukkah tachas sukkah, meaning it's a sukkah with a sukkah above it. The upper sukkah we get to disqualify because it's too high. It's above 20 amas. Fine. That would be a configuration where both would be possible. And pamim shetachton aksher v'alyon psula. Let's go over a scenario where the bottom one is kosher and the top one is possible. Hechi dami kigon shetachton and sosa meruba mechamta. So the bottom sukkah is schacht with legitimate schach, meaning more shade than sun. Tzilsa meruba mechamta and alyona chamta meruba mitzilsa. And the upper sukkah has more sun than shade, meaning it's sparse chach on the upper sukkah. And v'kaima tarvaya betoch esrim. And both of them are within 20 amas. Now this last point is important, meaning case number three, which the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, case number three is really the trickiest case and the one that really requires most of our thought and most of our attention. Because let's think about this third case. We are disqualifying the upper sukkah, we're validating the lower sukkah. Okay. Lower sukkah, what's it? Schach? Kosher schach. More shade than sun? Good. And the lower sukkah is within 20 amas of the ground? Fine. Upper sukkah? Sparse schach. It's more sun than shade? Fine. So in other words, the upper sukkah for sure is no good. It doesn't have kosher schach. But here's the point where we have to take into consideration, and the Gemara is going to really draw our attention to this point. I understand that the upper sukkah is no good. Doesn't have kosher schach. So that ends that discussion. But that upper sukkah, the schach of the upper sukkah, also is obviously providing shade and shelter for the lower sukkah. Now the upper sukkah schach is sparse. But as we learned in yesterday's daf, we don't get to ignore it. In fact, not only do we not get to ignore it, we can't ignore it. So even though here's the lower sukkah, here's the upper sukkah, the schach of the lower sukkah is totally kosher and totally legitimate, but we can't just simply ignore the upper sukkah. That's why the Gemara points out that the upper sukkah has to be within 20 amas of the ground. What if it's not 20 amas of the ground? What then? The upper sukkah schach is schach pasul. What did we learn in yesterday's daf? That once I have schach pasul and it's not intermingled and it's not intertwined, so then it creates a significant problem. Then you're being mitzarif, then you're combining schach pasul and schach kasher. And if they're not intertwined, then I don't have bittul, so then we result in a problem. Not a problem, disqualification. So that's why the Gemara points out that in this case, in this third case, where the lower sukkah is good but the upper sukkah is no good, that only works in a scenario where the upper sukkah schach is within 20 amas of the ground. Otherwise, where the upper sukkah schach is going to disqualify the lower sukkah schach. Good. That's the Gemara is going to point that out. The Gemara is going to highlight that in just a moment. But it's the third case over here that requires our attention.
Where are people sitting in the second
floor? Michael asked me that question. It's good. It's the right question. So later the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit. But it's right. It's hard to imagine. If it's above 20 amas. If it's not above 20 amas, then it's fine. But if it's above 20 amas.
But if it's below 20 amas.
So then it's schach kasher. So then that's fine. In other words, so now I have schach kasher. So you can combine schach kashers together with one another. That's not a problem. But if the upper sukkah schach is above 20 amas, so then it yields a problem.
In the third case, it's above 20 amas.
In the third case, it's below 20 amas. So then it's kosher schach for the lower sukkah. Okay, mind you, in the third case, you have two sukkahs, one on top of another. The lower sukkah has kosher schach, meaning, when I say kosher, I mean more shade than sun. The upper sukkah has schach, more sun than shade. So the upper sukkah is no good just simply because it doesn't have a dense enough schach. But the consideration now, fine, that's easy. The consideration is that the upper schach may or may not disqualify the lower schach. If the upper schach is above 20 amos, so then that's no good. That's what we call schach pasul. So even though it's sparse, but still it's something, and you can't ignore it. And that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was talking about the branches of the tree. Branches of the tree, if they're not intermingled, are now going to disqualify, they're going to invalidate your sukkah. Because you're being mitzarif. You're combining schach pasul with schach kasher.
In the second case, you immediately disqualified the lower sukkah because there was upper sukkah. Why not here?
But because the upper sukkah is not in the second case. So the upper sukkah, in the second case, as long as you have a sukkah above a sukkah, the lower sukkah is no good.
So
good. In the third case, You have a sukkah above a sukkah, but the top sukkah is not a good sukkah. So the top sukkah has got to, you can only call it a sukkah above a sukkah when the above sukkah is actually good. In the third case, the upper sukkah is no good, so it doesn't have a status.
If the upper sukkah is good, that means it has more shade than the sun, and your likelihood not to get anything on the bottom sukkah.
Hold on a second. Which case? I'm sorry. Just wait. Just point me in the direction. Which case are we talking about? One, two, or three? Okay, fine. I mean,
if the top sukkah is kosher,
okay,
you have more shade than sun.
Okay, fine.
Then the bottom sukkah cannot be kosher because if you have
noted in that right. That was case number two. Okay, fine. Oh, actually, I should point out we haven't even right. We have. Coming right up right now, so the Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, Kigon to Davar." It's still some. I'm sorry. Pamim Shel Yonak Shir V'Tachton Apsula. The Gemara says, "Okay, good. Now we're up to the case where the top sukkah is kosher and the bottom sukkah is pasul." So Hey Chidami. So the Gemara. This is now case number four. Kigon to Davar. It's still some Meruba Mechamtan. So this one's an easy one. They both have proper schach, both the upper and the lower. The Kamil Yonak B'Sochesrim, and the upper sukkah is within 20 amas of the lower one. So now we're good. Meaning that it's an easy case because the upper sukkah is a legitimate sukkah. The lower sukkah also is a legitimate sukkah. The problem is sukkah tachat sukkah. Now when you're sitting in the lower sukkah, you're sitting in multiple dwellings. You're sitting in a sukkah under a sukkah. And again, the beginning of today's dafcha simply said gzeiras hakasuf, it's a drasha that doesn't work. It's no good. Okay. Between the second case and the fourth case, in the second case, they're both no good. And here, the top one's good and the bottom one's no good. Okay.
To apartment buildings where you may have balconies on top of a balcony and people put sukkahs out there.
Right. Well, if your balcony is below somebody else's balcony, you're done. And Yerushalayim, because everything is built on an incline, so you have the benefit of people's balconies being right underneath the sky. Okay, but right in Manhattan, okay. Challenges of Manhattan and sukkahs. Okay, pshita tachtonik sherval. Okay, I'm sorry, pshita. Now, to all this, meaning for the last 20 minutes of daf, the Gemara basically lets out one declarative word, which it's funny, but it's true. It's obvious. Meaning, once you know all the rules, then the conclusions of Rav Yirmiyah are so sound. There's nothing that he said which seems to be news. Or newsworthy, meaning granted, we just went through, right, a configuration, four different configurations. We went through each one's kosher, each one's pasul. Top is pasul, bottom's kosher. Top is kosher, bottom's pasul. Good. We went through all four configurations. But when all said and done, once you know the ground rules, there's nothing that he said is which isn't perfectly obvious. So the Gemara says, "Tachtonik sher v'alyon psul litzrich light." So the Gemara says, "Yes, true, but case number three. Case number three is really the kicker. Why? Because ma'od detema nigzor delma mitzarf schach pasul ba'ad schach kasher. Because look, in case number three, again, let's set it up. Bottom sukkah is a kasher sukkah. Top sukkah, kasher sukkah, meaning with kasher schach. Top sukkah is not good. The schach on the top sukkah is sparse. It's more sun than shade." Provided by that tzchach, and we said the top sukkah is invalid and the bottom sukkah is valid. To which the Gemara says, yeah, but think about it. Because if I took that top sukkah and I raised the tzchach, I didn't change anything other than the height. I raised the tzchach of the top sukkah to above 20 amos, that's going to make all the difference. That's going to now disqualify the bottom sukkah. Why? Not because of sukkah tachas sukkah, but because that tzchach now registers as schach pasul. And because it registers as schach pasul, so now I have schach pasul mixing up, being mitzarif, combining with schach kasher. And you go back to yesterday's daf. And when you're combining schach pasul with schach kasher, and they're not interwoven, and there's no bittul, so then that's going to be disqualification. So here in case number three, if you did nothing other than just simply adjust the height of the upper sukkah, you're going to end up disqualifying the lower sukkah. And that's a really subtle point. People may not be sensitive. And mahu detema, and I might have thought, negzer, that maybe this would be a place where the chachamim make a gzera. because people can easily mistake doing nothing other than just simply adjusting the height of the upper sukkah. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's the chiddush. The chiddush is in case number three, where we could have seen a place for the chachamim to make a gzeira, no such gzeira. Okay. No, we assume no. In other words, that the assumption is we don't hold like Rav Yehuda. Okay. Kami hay ben sukkah l'sukkah te tachtona psula.
So the 10 is the 20 animals being from which to
move. Right. So the 20, in other words, they are 20 amos from the ground floor. Because we're looking at it from the perspective of sitting in the bottom sukkah. Sitting in the top sukkah, that's nothing. But sitting in the bottom sukkah, so now you have the schach kasher directly above you. Great. But then you have schach after that above you. So again, so if it's above 20 amos from where you're sitting, so now that's schach pasul. And even though it's sparse, and even though it's more sun than shade, but it's combining with your schach. That's, as we learned in yesterday's daf, that's no good. Amar.
In the first case, that both were good. The second one cannot be above 20. Torah should not be above 20.
In which case?
First case.
But we're both are good. Both are good. Yeah, so both.
Torah should not be above 20.
Correct. Agreed. Amar Rav Huna. I'm sorry. I missed an important point, and that's the Gemara's question. Kama yehei bein sukkah l'sukkah te tachtona psula. Okay. Here we get to an interesting discussion in the Gemara. To me, I didn't even think this would be a discussion. I thought this would be obvious, and it's not. Okay. And here's basically the discussion. Look, we just started off today's daf by saying that you can't be in multiple sukkahs. Meaning, you can't be in a sukkah underneath another sukkah. Okay? It's a disqualification. Sukkah tachat sukkah. Fine. Even nothing wrong with the upper sukkah. Just simply can't be. You can't be in multiple. You have to be sitting in one self-contained sukkah. Good. At what point are we going to look at the upper sukkah and say, hey, that's a sukkah? And you're violating this rule of sukkah tachat sukkah. So, if I didn't have the Gemara coming up, I would have said something really simple. Do you know when the upper one is considered a sukkah? When it has the dimensions of a legitimate sukkah. So, let's just talk in terms of height. In other words, let's leave area out of the discussion, because really heights are a critical variable over here. So I would have said, without the Gemara, it's a no-brainer. The bottom sukkah is obviously going to be of kosher height, because you're sitting in the bottom sukkah. And the top sukkah, in order to invalidate the bottom sukkah, has to be 10 tefachim high. And I would have that's what I would have said, and I would have sprinted away from the discussion saying, what's the discussion to be even had? The Gemara is going to register here three opinions. What I just offered and what I just argued is only the third opinion. But there actually is going to be two other opinions in terms of when the upper sukkah is going to have status and therefore disqualify the lower sukkah. Okay. And now it's really hard to understand. As you can see, I'm struggling. It's really hard to understand. Meaning, why should it be that if the upper sukkah is not 10 tefachim, anything less than 10 tefachim, and meanwhile it's going to have a status, and meanwhile it's going to disqualify you by sitting in the lower sukkah because of this rule, sukkah tachas sukkah.
But the thing is, if it doesn't have 10 tefachim, it doesn't reach the status of a sukkah, no matter whether it's on top or the bottom.
I would have put my stake in that position. I would have put everything I had on that position, and I would have and as you'll see, this is not a consensus. Okay, so kamiyeh ben sukkah l'sukkah teitach son apsula. So I'm Rav Huna tefach. So Rav Huna says a full tefach, and that's all you need. So you have a tefach space 4 inches between the bottom sukkah and we'll put this in quotes, and the top sukkah. So then what's going to end up happening is that by you sitting in the bottom sukkah, you are now disqualified because you are in a multiple sukkah. You're sitting under multiple sukkahs.
Why is that considered a second sukkah?
So
that's part of the schach, just, right?
But
doesn't the concept of love would apply to that? It's the one schach on top of the
I was thinking, you read my mind? I was thinking that as well. The Gemara does not even entertain that. At least this is within the position of Rav Huna. So I'm Rav Huna Tefach. Shekem Asinaba Olay Tuma Tefach. Look, we know Tefach serves as a measurement regarding Ohel. Okay, we discussed Tumas Meis. It comes up. It already came up in our Masechta. It will come up again. And the idea is that when you are sharing a roof with human remains, so the tumah goes up to the roof, hits the roof, spreads out, and drops back down again. Now, in terms of Tumas Meis, an ohel of Tumas Meis, what's the measurement? One tefach. That's it. So one tefach is extremely low. It's 4 inches. It doesn't matter. That's the shear. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah in Olos. Now we learned in the Mishnah. Tefach, tefach, barom, tefach. It's if one area of tefach by length and width is one tefach. Height is a tefach. Maybe it's a tumah. V'chos it's bifnei tumah. So now it will spread the tumah out. It'll stop the tumah from going up any further. Aval pachas merom tefach. Well, maybe v'lochos it's but less than a tefach. It doesn't stop the tumah from going. The tumah will just continue to go up. And the roof won't catch the tumah and spread the tumah below it. But anyway, so you see that tefach is significant in the world of ohel. So what Rav Huna is arguing, it's an interesting argument, and it's not intuitive, but what Rav Huna is arguing is that when the upper sukkah is now just but one tefach off from the lower sukkah, since in the world of ohel, in Tumas Meis, it represents an ohel, so therefore in the world of sukkah, it represents now a tent-like status, so that when you're in the lower sukkah, you're sukkah tachas sukkah.
But the thing is that even in the world of tumah, that extra tefach doesn't give you an extra entity on top of the meis.
Okay,
it's part of the lower entity.
Fine.
It's one unit.
It
just seals it.
Good. Okay, so, I hear you.
But the thing is that since you're in that argument, you cannot say that it's a second unit because it's not a tefach.
Right. It's going to require more work to understand Rav Huna. I'm in agreement, but that's his position.
His
point is that that one tefach indicates that that is a tent. It catches the tumah and keeps it below its roof, meaning anything under that roof is considered an entity.
Right. So when you have the sechat above the tefach, then that becomes a floor for the top one without any problems.
His point is as follows. I have a layer of schach. One tefach above it, I have another layer of schach.
Right.
So his point is that when you're sitting on when you're sitting below the two layers, you're now violating the rule, sukkah tachas sukkah. That's Rav Huna's point. And again, Ben's having a hard time understanding, but the other Ben also is having a hard time understanding. Fine, it's difficult. But that's the position of Rav Huna. Rav Chista, Rav Chista v'Rabba bar Rav Huna Amri ba'arba. They say no. They go one step more. Not one tefach, four tefachim. Now, what's the significance about four tefachim? Shalom etzina, makam chasha, pachos me'arba. Because you go back to Masechta Shabbos, and you remember the first 8 days of Masechta Shabbos, from Daf Beis to about Daf Tes. So you remember, we talked about what is the Rishus Yachid. And when doing an Akira, when doing a Hanacha, when picking something up on Shabbos, putting it down, you have to put it down in a significant area. And we've said time and again, what's the significant area? Four Tvachim. Four Tvachim is a significant area. Now it's interesting, again, I don't want to pick this apart too much, although I am, obviously. But and I'm definitely speaking too much of my mind today. But in other words, when it comes to four Tvachim, that's a dimension of area, of length and width. We are now translating that into a dimension of height.
Right.
Okay, so it's not the same, and I realize that, and I'm sure they realized it infinitely more than I realize it, and still they take the position. So obviously they know what they're doing, and I got to understand them. But still, in other words, they're saying four tefachim. So that means that if I have a schach and four tefachim above it, I have another layer of schach. So that's a significant area. Even though, of course, that does not represent a kasher sukkah, that signifies a significant area. And now, when you're standing below the two schachim, so now that's no good because you're violating the rule sukkah tachat sukkah. Shmuel Amar Asara, and now we get to the position which is, I think, the most intuitive in terms of this halacha. It's the accepted halacha, and that's Shmuel's position. In order for you to be violating the rule of sukkah tachat sukkah, the upper sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high. My time is a Shmuel, kechsher kach psula. So Shmuel says, look, we'll make a very simple equation. Whatever qualifies, disqualifies. It's that simple. Ma'achshere basara. So what qualifies a sukkah? 10 tefachim high. Av psula basara. So what's going to disqualify? 10 tefachim. It's straightforward. So Tanan, so the Gemara is going to challenge this. Now, let's go back to the last line of the Mishnah. Last line of the Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if no one's living in the upper sukkah, so the bottom sukkah is fine. Now, my ein diurin. What does it mean no one's living in the upper sukkah? Which is Rav Yehuda's position, which he's arguing with the Tanakhama. But what does he mean? So, Elam Adira Ma Mishnah, don't think it means that there are actually people living in the upper sukkah. Because Atta Diurin Kagarme, because I cannot imagine that whether or not there are physically people there, or people are not there, why in the world should that change the status? So the Gemara says, Allah, my ein diurin kol she'en ru'uya l'dira. So the Gemara says, you know what Rav Yehuda must mean? It must mean that it's not fit for people to live there. Now, what does it mean it's not fit? Why can't people live there? So unlike what Danny and Michael suggested earlier, was that because there's no way the schach can support your weight. But the Gemara says no. What the issue is that it's just simply not high enough. What does it mean not high enough? It's not 10 tefachim high. This is the Gemara's, again, it's a projected understanding of what Rav Yehuda means. It's not 10 tefachim high. Mechlal de Tanakama Savrafa Pishena Ladir Eina Ru'uy Ladira Psula. Now, if that's Rav Yehuda's position, that the upper sukkah, in order for it to disqualify the lower sukkah, has to be minimum 10 tefachim high, so he's obviously arguing with the Tanakama, and the Tanakama is obviously saying, obviously, not obviously, but then what the Tanakama would be saying is that even if the upper sukkah is not 10 tefachim high, it serves as a disqualification for the lower sukkah. Now again, that's a lot of projection, that's a lot of speculation within the Mishnah, but if we're right about all this, so then that's difficult for Shmuel. Shmuel, who would obviously like to side with the majority Tanakama position, but now it comes out that according to the Tanakama, even if the upper sukkah is not 10 tefachim high, it would disqualify the lower sukkah. So Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amma Amri B'ma'arav. So Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says, no, that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, do you know what's behind the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Tanakama? It has nothing to do with the height of either sukkah. Let's assume Shmuel's right. Let's assume that in order for the upper sukkah to disqualify the lower sukkah, it has to be 10 tefachim. That's not the issue. What's the issue? So it's what we suggested earlier today. Who's sitting in that upper sukkah? Physically. Can it support our weight? And it's funny, the Gemara doesn't even talk about human weight. The Gemara talks about karem uksasos, meaning that schach between the lower sukkah and the upper sukkah. So Rav Yehuda's argument is, it's got to be strong. It's got to be supportive. If that schach can't support the weight of just the pillows and the blankets, so karam uksasa shal yona hatachtonik shera. So you know what I say regarding that schach? I ignore it. Let's move on. And what does that mean, move on? And what does that mean, ignore it? Meaning we treat it as if it's not even there. And therefore, if you're sitting in the lower sukkah, you know, there's only one schach you need to worry, to concern yourself with, and that's the upper schach. So mechlad the Tanakama Savra Afa Pishen Rui Lakaba Psula. So the Gemara says, and that means according to the Tanakama, even if it can't hold and support the weight of just the pillows and the blankets, you mean to tell me that then it's significant? So the Gemara narrows the difference between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. No, in order for that tzchach to be significant and taken into consideration, it's got to support. Now, does it have to really support, or can it be enough if it could just balance the pillows? So the Gemara says that's the machlokes between Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. But at least for us to look at that lower schach, the schach of the lower sukkah, and to say it's significant, and it's got to be able to support something. Now, strong support or medium support, moderate support. Okay, the Gemara says that's a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda, but it's got to be able to support something. The Gemara, fine, but in terms of height, the Gemara says, let's assume like Shmuel, that in order for the upper sukkah to disqualify the lower sukkah, the upper sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high.
Do we have an independent mitzvah of building a sukkah even if you don't live in it?
That's interesting. I'll tell you what. Ask me after the daf. I'll tell you the little.
Be pertinent to this that you just build a sukkah because you have
mitzvah. I hear you. Ask me after the daf. I'll give you some relevant information that I know. Okay, come to me after. I'll discuss it further. What? Okay, fine. What? Just one last point, and then we'll move on from here. We have another. In other words, we just finished our third Mishnah of the Masechta, and we're in the middle of Daf Yud. We're going to start the next Mishnah. But just one last point, and it connects us to the beginning of the Masechta. We have another Machlokes between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. So, what was our first Machlokes in the Masechta between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda? Whether a sukkah can be above 20 amos or not? Tanakam says it can't, and Rav Yehuda says it can be above 20 amos. So, how do we explain that machlokas? So, our general explanation has been, and will continue to be, that the Tanakhama says that your sukkah has to be a temporary structure. Rav Yehuda says no, a sukkah needs to be a permanent structure. And if you remember the daf of just a couple days ago, it was on Zayin Amud Beis, where Abaye says, we have all these Tanaim who say that your sukkah should be a permanent structure. And one of the Tanaim he pointed to was Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. So the Rishonim point out, not Rashi, but the Rishonim point out that this machlokas over here, based on the way the Gemara just presented it, is another manifestation of this machlokas. Where what did Rav Yehuda say? Rav Yehuda says that if you can't live in the upper sukkah, so then, right, im ein diyurim be'el yona, if you can't live in the upper sukkah, now again, the Gemara says that has nothing to do with actual residence. That's not the issue. Meaning, but if that tzchach can't fully support the weight of somebody living in it, ignore it. Meaning, that tzchach is nothing. So again, that's Rav Yehuda l'shitaso. That's Rav Yehuda being consistent. And Rav Yehuda is saying that for your sukkah to be good, it's got to be a permanent structure. And the Chachamim, the Tanakam of our Mishnah says, nah, it doesn't have to really support. As long as you can balance some pillows on it, it's fine. They're also being consistent. The sukkah does not have to be a permanent structure. It would be enough if it were a temporary structure. Okay, so again, just another manifestation of this major debate that takes place in terms of the nature of the sukkah. Should it be permanent, or can it be, or should it be even a temporary structure? Okay, next. We move on, and we are now going to talk about noi sukkah, the beautification of a sukkah. We have a general principle in halacha that when you have a mitzvah, so you should make it as beautiful as possible. Right? It shows our love for the mitzvah. It shows how much we honor and respect the mitzvahs. So we beautify them. So when you get tzitzis, so make nice tzitzis. And when you have a Sefer Torah, make a nicer Sefer Torah. And this is a function of Zekei Levan Veu, that we have to glorify and we have to adorn, and we have to make things as beautiful as possible. So sukkah as well. Sukkah as well, just in terms of its structure, you should make it look nice. And then afterwards, so you decorate. Decorating the sukkah, right, what we've done, and it's not a bad thing, but I think sometimes we miss the point, is that we outsource the decoration of the sukkah. Okay, kids, okay, now time to decorate the sukkah. Okay, truth of the matter is that if we understood that we are beautifying the mitzvah, so we wouldn't be outsourcing. We would be doing the decorating ourselves. So that is a topic of discussion. Now, why is this such an important topic of discussion? In of itself, it's a good topic, but it's one of those areas in halacha where you're trying to beautify the sukkah, and maybe and perhaps by beautifying the sukkah, you're going to be disqualifying the sukkah. Why? Because we know that when you make a sukkah, you have to be sitting under the tzchach. And what if the decorations are such where I take a bedsheet and I paint a mural on the bedsheet? It's beautiful, right? A beautiful mural. And what do? I hang the bedsheet right underneath the tzchach. So now when I look up, so right, I'm going to see a beautiful mural, Yerushalayim. Wonderful. But I'm not sitting underneath the tzchach anymore. I'm sitting under my mural. So my intent, my purpose was to beautify the sukkah. And meanwhile, through the noi sukkah, perhaps, maybe, I disqualified it. That's going to be our discussion from this point to the end of today's daf. Pirsal asadim imneacham otachtam imneanesher. So the Mishnah gives three scenarios where you take a bedsheet and you lay it on top of the schach, or you lay it underneath the schach, or you make it into a canopy for your bed, so it's no good. Now, laying it on top of the schach, why would you take a bedsheet and lay it on top of the schach? So here, we live in beautiful sunny South Florida, so you know why. It is hot. And the schach is providing some shade, but I'd prefer more shade. So you take a bedsheet and you put it right over the schach, so the Mishnah says that's no good. So yeah, just lay more schach on top. that'd be good. And to lay the bed sheet underneath the schach, let's say, for us, the fronts are pretty sturdy, the palm fronts. But remember our days back in the Northeast, so we... Right, because we all come from the Northeast, right? Every one of us. don't argue. Yeah, I'm saying, don't argue with me. So you remember? So you put the leaves are just coming right down into the sukkah. So what you do is you lay a sheet right underneath the schach, so that way you're protecting yourself from the leaves. So the Mishnah says that's also no good. You've also disqualified because you're not sitting under the schach. And finally, the third scenario is where you have a canopy. Okay, canopies are not in vogue anymore, but used to be in the good old days. So every bed had a canopy. So you had a bed, and you had four poles on the bed, and then you laid a canopy on top of it. And in the sukkah, it would be extremely enjoyable to have a canopy, because sukkah can get a little bit buggy. So in other words, you lay down a canopy, now you're inside the canopy, and great, and the Mishnah says, no, not great, just the opposite. So you're not staying in a sukkah. You're not in a sukkah. It's disqualified. Okay. I'll just finish the Mishnah and we'll come back to discuss. But if it's not a canopy, but it's just a teepee. Now, the difference between a canopy and a teepee, it's the difference between four poles versus two poles. If I lay the canopy over, in other words, again, canopy over here, I just simply mean, here's your bed, in the four corners of the bed, put four poles, and lay a cloth over the top, that's a canopy. For the purpose of our discussion, that's the legal definition of a canopy. Masha'en kein, if I have two poles, and I lay the sheet like a teepee, in other words, so it creates an inverted V, so that's fine. So as a Mishnah, that's not a problem. That would be okay.
The mural that you just mentioned, the Yerushalayim, can you do it like this?
Well, just one second. Because in a moment you're going to see you could do it like that.
Does the sheet have to be opaque? Or could
if
you're using mosquito netting,
so
it's not opaque.
Well, if the netting, it gets back to that discussion. If the netting is in terms of square inch, more air than shade. So if it's more air than shade, so you have a better argument. But if it's more shade than air, so then it's chach pasul. Well, hold on one second. Let's first, okay, please, you know, in other words, let's differentiate the Rav and me. I'm not the Rav. But Amar Rav Chista. Let's start with the Gemara. Lo shanu elam imne ha-nesher, avalin osok shera. So Rav Chista is going to make a fundamental distinction between the purpose of why you put it up. If you put it up in order to protect you from the leaves, so that's no good. If you put it up because you wanted to beautify your sukkah, well, that's okay. Now, obviously, once again, great daf, lot to think about. What's the difference? Meaning, I'm doing the same, two people are doing the same thing. You can have two people side by side, make each family making a sukkah, each one putting up the sod and putting up the bedcloth, and one sukkah is no good and the other sukkah is good. And what's the difference? So Rav Chista says, well, if you put it up to protect you from the leaves, well, that's no good. But the next person who put it up and he made a mural and he painted Yerushalayim on the mural, so that's fine. What's the difference? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi obviously is bothered by that. And Rashi addresses the issue in the following manner. Second Rashi on the Gemara. Avalin osa ein shame. No, let me read. I'm sorry, let me read the first Rashi. Okay, let me read both Rashis. Lo shanu elam imnei ha-nesher. Dishav yeschach lahagain. Because basically what you want this sheet to do, again, you're putting the sheet up to protect you from the leaves. So what you want the sheet to do is basically be protecting you from the schach. Hilkach mafso. Therefore, it's going to disqualify why mishum mekabel tumah. Because remember, the rules of schach are, got to grow from the ground, got to be detached from the ground, it can't be a kli. So if I have a bed sheet, if I'm using it to protect myself from the schach, so it now has status, and it's mekabel tumah. It's a bed sheet. It's like clothing, and therefore I'm using it now as a form of schach, which is mekabel tumah, and that's why it's no good. Masha ein kein. Let's take a look at the next Rashi. But what if I do it for purpose of decoration? Ein shame schach alaha ukshera. See, if I'm doing it for the purpose of beautification, it doesn't have status. It doesn't have schach status. What status does it have? Noi. It's for the purposes of beautification. And therefore it would be good, therefore it would be acceptable. Now Rashi does offer another pshat, b'yesh mefarshim time of the psul mishum, shnei schachem. Maybe it has to do with the fact that it's a double schachem, but Rashi ends up rejecting. Rashi says, no, that's not it. The way Rashi understands the distinction between lehagain versus lenoi is lehagain. If I put the bedsheet up to protect me from the schach, it now has schach-like status to it, and it's mekabel tumah, and therefore it's no good. But if it's lenoi, if it's for the purpose of beautification of the sukkah, fine. Because it doesn't have schach status, even though it is effectively protecting me from the schach, but still, that's not why I put it up. I put up lenoi, and therefore it'd be fine. Okay.
There's a whole aspect that I mentioned in this argument, and that is the whole point of sitting in sukkah is to show that you want to see protection.
Okay.
From the schach.
And yeah, I understand that.
So that's the
good. Like, but if you don't have to forgive me for saying this, but you can, but please. I mean, that's drusha material, meaning that's but in terms of the legalities of it, in terms of the Gemara of it.
I'm just saying from Rashi.
Good, I hear you. But in terms of the legalities of it, that, look, Rav Chisda says it, we have to strike a distinction, and so Rashi says that's how we're going to understand it, whether it has status or whether it doesn't have status. Now, the Gemara, it's funny, the Gemara says, now that's obvious. Okay. Why is it obvious? Because look at the formulation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually says, Mimnei Anesher. If I put the sheet up because I want to prevent the leaves falling down into my soup, so that's no good. All right, so right. So why did the Mishnah say Mimnei Anesher? So the reading of the Mishnah is very simple. Because if I put it up for the purpose of Noi, that would be fine. So Mao Detema Hua Din Dafila Nosa. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you could have argued, and maybe you could have said that no, it would be true that once I put the sheet up, right underneath the schach, it would be puzzle, regardless. And why does the Mishnah say Mimnei Anesher? V'hadik nani Mimnei Anesher or Chadim El Siketani? Well, in other words, people generally put a sheet right under the schach in order to stop the leaves from coming down. The Mishnah wasn't trying to be super specific. The Mishnah was just simply articulating why most people do it. Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, okay, I think we could support this position of Rav Chisda, that it depends why I put the bed sheet up. If I put it up to stop the leaves from falling down, no good. If I put it up lenoi for purpose of beautification, that's fine, and that would be acceptable. Right. Okay. Hold that question. I'm not going to have the best answer to that question. In fact, I don't think it's going to be good at all. But I would say wait till the story of Binyamin. After the story of Binyamin, you don't know what I mean yet. Wait till the story of Binyamin. After when you hear the story of Binyamin, so then you'll be like, oh, that was his issue. Lema misayele sichacha kehilchasa v'itra. Let's say I put schach on the sukkah, kedasu kedin, right? Perfectly good, and then itra, and then I adorn my sukkah using kramim sadinim mitsuyarim, murals, sheets that were painted a mural, the talaba, and then I hung on my sukkah. It goes imshkedim aparsikim rimonim, fruit hanging off the sukkah. I know now we have the plastic fruit, so right, last longer. Parchile anavim viicho shishibolim, grapevines and some sort of grain. Yeno shmanim v'slasos. This one I love. Wine hanging down from your schach. Okay, wow. Right, bottles of wine and bottles of oil. So asuli stopik mehem ad motzei yom tov ha'acharon shel chag. So you can't get benefit from them. Meaning, once set aside as your noi sukkah, so now they have status. Once again, go back to yesterday's daf. Remember what we learned on Tesamad Aleph, that you're not allowed to benefit from the sukkah. Once you have noi sukkah, so then it also has that designation that you're not allowed to benefit from.
Is it part of the sukkah, noi sukkah?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Seemingly, I mean that's how the Gemara that's how the Gemara is describing it. And furthermore, you know, it's strange. I have a bottle of wine hanging off the my sukkah that I put up there for the purpose of noi, and now over sukkahs, you know, we're good. We drank. The bottle's finished, and you're looking up, and that's a nice bottle over there. but you can't. However, Avim hisna aleim akol lefitzo. No, but what you can do, right? This maneuver is used a number of times throughout Shas. Is that what you can specify? You can make it tonight. You can make a condition when you put it up. You can say, I'm putting it up, but I don't want it to gain the status of sukkah and kedusha, and I want to be able to benefit from it. So if you make it tonight, you make it tonight, and therefore it would work. Okay. So, but what was the point of the Gemara? Again, the whole point of why we brought this up is simply because if I lay a sheet underneath my schach, our Mishnah says it's no good. This Brisa says, well, it's just fine. Okay, fine. So now, I basically have a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Brisa. So what are we going to say? Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda's distinction. That if I put it up for the purposes of protecting me from the schach, no good. Mekabel Tumah. Done. Disqualified. But in the Brisa, we're talking about putting up for Noi. Now that's a very easy distinction because quite frankly, the Brisa is talking about decorating your sukkah. So if you put it up for the purposes of Noi, so then that would be fine. So this would be a support for Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, well, maybe not Dilma Menatzad. The Gemara says, well, and Hedy, this is, you made the suggestion earlier, well, maybe the Gemara says you put the bedsheet up not horizontally right under the schach, maybe you put it vertically right up against the wall. Okay. The Gemara is not dismissing Rav Chisda. The Gemara is just simply saying, don't bring this Brisa as absolute proof for Rav Chisda. Let's do a little bit more for today, and we will wrap it up. Idmar noy sukkah, in mematim besukkah. Noy sukkah does not minimize your sukkah. Meaning, and Rashi explains, in either direction. For example, your schach is above 20 amas high. And the noy sukkah is dropping below 20 amas. You can't say, well, I know my schach is above 20 amas, but all those fruit that I hung underneath it, and the bottles of wine, and the mural, and all that, so can't I say now that it's dropping below 20 amas? No. It doesn't minimize. It doesn't help you, but it also doesn't hurt you, says Rashi. Let's say your sukkah is a base minimum of 10 tefachim. And then, decorate. I know space is tight, but well, I mean, let's make it nice. And you decorate. It's not going to hurt you. Meaning, even though Tosus makes this point, we said earlier in the Masechta, I have Hutzin. I have the branches dropping into your tent tefach area. So the Gemara earlier said that's diras srucha. That's no good. Right? It makes the place inhabitable. But if it's decoration, even though the decoration is encroaching in your tent tefach area, the Gemara says that's fine. I'm sorry, Rashi explains that's fine. So Edmar, no, it's okay. Mematim asukah. Amar Ravashi umenatzad mematin. Now Ravashi says, okay, that's true from the schach downward, but if you're decorating the walls, and that decoration on the walls is encroaching into your area, you can't ignore it. Because as we said, the base minimum of sukkah is your head, your body, and a table have to fit in the sukkah. If your decorations are coming off the side and encroaching into the airspace from the side, and not allowing you to even fit in your sukkah, so that can't be ignored, and that will minimize the airspace of your sukkah. And if it diminishes it to below 7x7 tefachim, so then your sukkah is no good. Okay, tomorrow we start with minyamin. Okay, so Hedy, that will be our starting point for tomorrow's gemara.